Adulting is a roller coaster of really high highs, low lows, and everything in between. If you are in the thick of this ride and changing your mind every 2 seconds about whether you are enjoying it or not, you're in the right place. Every 2 weeks, join the Adulting Out Loud hosts as we talk through our experiences as certified adults, offering each other encouragement, inspiration, and a good laugh. We hope to leave you feeling refreshed and ready to face everything adulting has in store for you. Thanks for listening.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Adulting Out Loud. This is Yvonne. I'll be hosting for today. So today I'm excited. We are doing a topic that I think it's important to discuss: personality types. These days is this term we use when somebody is too much of something. We keep saying, yeah, that person has a personality, but I think I don't think we know what we say, and we keep saying, hey, I met somebody today who has a personality, and that is what we want to discuss today. So what types of personality do we think we have, Yunia? What's your understanding about personality types?
Okay, I think what makes that person uniquely them, because Yunia is different from Yvonne, is different from Caro. So we are all girls, yes. We are all age mates, yes. But what makes me different from you, what makes me different from Caro, is that personality. And I think it's a mixture of science and socialization is what makes us who we are. So yes, some people are born like you're born with a personality. I see it with my daughter. Like her personality would shine through even when she was a baby. Like you'd see she's like this, but there are some things that you can see she has along the way she has learned to be and to do. So I think it's both. I think it's an interplay of both science and socialization. And by science, I mean I think you're born that way because of genes. Mm. I think maybe you take up your mom or your dad or your grandparents, you know, like there are some personality traits that you have because of your parents or because of your family lineage. They have that thing, you know, they are maybe quiet or but then there are some things that you'll pick up because you've been socialized in that way.
That is very true. And I think this is something that has come forth in the last 2 or 3 decades. I know personally, even when doing marriage counseling, one of the things you're encouraged to do is get to understand each type, I mean, what your spouse's personality type is, for you to be able to know how to cope with them. So, Carol, when did you do your first personality type test?
I think I did my first personality test in university during my bachelor's studies. Well, maybe because of the nature of the program that I did. And so there was a whole course on human behavior at work. So in this, we actually studied personality types and all the different ways that people behave, and as Yunia was saying, all the individual traits that make people who they are, and those form labels that we put on people. So it's indeed a combination of science, but I think also psychology. Actually, most of them, of these models and tests, are developed by psychologists actually to help put a name on the way people. So for me, my first test was done while at uni, and the results were quite interesting for me because when I found out my test results, like, it was quite different from everyone else because not so many people were in that category. Like, not so many people were melancholic, I would say. Like, most people were like, you know, cholerics and, you know, the sanguine, especially sanguine. That had a lot of people. And my reaction initially wasn't like of excitement or this is true and factual about me.
Carol, you've mentioned one type of personality tests that people take. And I think it's the most common one, where we have the four: the melancholic, the sanguine, the phlegmatic, and the choleric. But there are so many others. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, I am fire.
Oh, really?
Yes. So somebody else will say, I am earth. You know?
Yeah.
And then we have there are quite so many.
Yeah. The Maya
advocates,
I don't know, diplomats,
defenders.
I don't know.
Explorer,
yes. Explorer. Huh? Then there's the Enneagram one. I'm a 9, I'm a 1, I'm a 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe we can just go through and give our own experiences. Just mention, we can start with the common one, the one that has the four that Carol had mentioned earlier. Tell us when you did your test, because I know the three of us have done that one. Actually, we've done quite a few. let's start with that one. Tell us what you majorly are, and give us a trait or two, both positive and negative, from that personality. Yunia?
So I'm a phlegmatic. And I've got that result consistently every time I've done that test. It always just comes phlegmatic. But the percentages change. So sometimes it would be phlegmatic sanguine. Is it? Yes, like it would be both, but in percentages, but mostly phlegmatic. And the positives of phlegmatics, I'm even so shy to say, because some people are going to listen and be like, really, girl? No. So the positives is they are calm. They are calm people, especially under pressure. They don't they do well under pressure, actually. They keep calm, they don't give in to the pressure. That's one positive, which I think I have. I actually think I'm very calm under pressure. So that's one I agree with. Then they are easygoing. They're easygoing.
Yeah.
They're flow. Like what comes is what comes. They are, you know, like just easygoing. They don't like ruffling the feathers so much. So they keep things calm and they are easygoing. So that's now their positives are also their negatives, incidentally. So because they are easygoing and they are calm, they are not ambitious people. Like they just go along with life. Like they seem demotivated, and it's actually an annoying trait for ambitious people, for like choleric people, or, you know, people who want to get things done now. Like, you know, phlegmatics really just annoy them. And then another negative trait is, which is also a positive, we are not confrontational people, but it's also a negative, because then when they in their issue, when there's conflict in a relationship, they'll just sweep it under the rug. They won't confront it head on.
Wow. Yes, phlegmatics know how to pick their fights. I think we are the inventors of that slogan. Learn to pick your fights. Carol, what about you? You'd mentioned melancholic.
Yes, I already mentioned that. And for me, this has also been consistent, actually. All the tests I've done, they come out with this. So for us, or for a melancholic, usually we are thought to be thoughtful people, and more like Amora is inward looking, introspective. And then the other thing is like I really consider or take time slow to act, because observing and analyzing all the options, what might be, what might not be. And so decision-making sometimes, or most of the time, takes a while. But if a decision is made, really, it's like, I won't return, that's it. And I'm deeply sure of what I have decided. And I think that pays off with the slowness in acting. And then yeah. Melancholics like to be quiet and spend time alone. Like, spending time alone isn't really a problem. Really fine, because we like solitude, because it helps us to, like, just think, be in your mind, reflect on your life. And except when we are with very close friends and family, we are not quiet and introverted, as people may see us initially. So I think because of that, then really that is our weaknesses as well, or what I see as a weakness. Because of that, then it's mostly like I struggle with perfectionism. You're driven by purpose, and so you set high standards for yourself personally, but also for the people in your circles. You think of people to be up to that standard, and because of that, we struggle with evil and when people don't measure up, because of the ideal you've created in your mind. And yeah, so that really turns out to be a weakness. And then also, if you're struggling with being good and doing everything well, then you have anxiety about the future, or even like you worry about anything in the past that you think didn't do well, a past mistake. And a combination of that actually is not good, because sometimes it can result into some kind of depression or things that you talk about to people. And it's a struggle to be vulnerable with some of those struggles, because you look inward and you think, well, I can actually solve this by myself. And so it's hard to like open up to people, and we are reluctant, so we come off as having this wall around that it's hard for people to let in people into our lives, or to break through, which is a weakness. And also I sense that because we have this strong sense of purpose, I find I have a self-awareness. I know my values and things that I hold so dear to my heart. And that makes me very sensitive, or makes a melancholic sensitive to criticism, especially when such values are facing criticism. It's like, no, don't touch that area. Like, so, yeah, and we are trying to, so then there's also a tendency to burn out, because you just work and work, because you're driven, you're wanting to achieve
all the things you've set for you.
All the things you've set for yourself, and you know, you want to be alone because there is something you're working on, or there is this thing that you want to do. And yeah, then I come off as distant from people sometimes. And yeah, we tend to also be now selective on who we relate with, and a bit discriminatory into our lives, which is really good. But
it's always like that. What is positive is also the negative, actually.
I've actually, like, that one for distancing, my dad is a full melancholic, okay, not 100%, but that it plays majorly. And I've seen him do crazy things when it comes to protecting his own space.
So
you'd have guests, he will come say hello and go to the bedroom, and you will not hear or see him again, even if you're staying there the whole day. which drives my mother crazy because she's a sanguine. So she's the life of the party. So she doesn't understand why you'd embarrass her by not being there.
I know, but it's draining to be around people for so long.
Yeah.
You always have that tendency. You want to withdraw.
That's very interesting. Also, interestingly, as the host of the podcast, we are all into the introvert bracket that now carries the phlegmatic and melancholic. Because I'm also a phlegmatic. And my secondary, I'm 75. Most of the time it gets to 75, 70, phlegmatic, and the rest melancholic.
Really?
Yeah. Well, you carry your what? Your
75 melancholic, 25 phlegmatic.
Oh, really?
So I'm the one carrying this podcast. At least my sanguine nature.
Your sanguine.
I know, right? Thank God for that element.
So it's quite true. You're the life of the podcast. Anyway, that's interesting to know. So, girls, now that we've done these tests and we are aware of what our strengths and weaknesses are, do us knowing our personalities affect our day-to-day in any way? And because personally, I think it does. It does affect, I'm more conscious about some things that happen, but not more so on my side, but on how I view other people. And I'll give an example. When something happens with my husband, he is a choleric sanguine. So there are things he will do and I will more or less excuse him, because I know his personality. And sometimes they are good things, so go ahead, have your way, if it makes you happy. But sometimes they are not positive things, but I tend to, being the phlegmatic who doesn't want to deal with things, I'll be like, no, it's okay. That's his personality.
No, that's funny. So you avoid...
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to bring this up.
Yes,
yeah, I think it does play in our day to day. For me, knowing my personality, it does play in my day to day life. And I think it's like Yvonne. It's like in the sense that also knowing the other persons also helps me to be able to sometimes just be like, okay, that's who they are, that's where they are coming from, or you know, and not be like, but why are you like this? Why do you do things like this, you know? And yeah, for the people around me, for my husband, for my siblings, for my daughter. My daughter, I think, is a sanguine. Definitely.
She's a sanguine. I think it also helps in the sense of, not so for the phlegmatic, but these are the tests we did, the 16 personality types, yeah? You tend to also know why you're drawn to certain careers and which fields you would fit in better.
Yeah.
You know, so that even when opportunities come, you're able to know which ones are actually for me, which ones are not for me. You don't just take things because they come your way. That self-awareness that the personality tests give you is quite important. But Caro, allow me to ask, do you think we use this personality type things as an excuse to have bad behavior or weakness? That's just the way I am.
Absolutely. Like we do. And it's actually sometimes unfortunate that we reach that extreme of using that to excuse bad behavior or to get our way, because some personalities are really driven. And so people just excuse them. I see this play out at work a lot. Sometimes, you know, in meetings, people have the audacity to even, you know, maybe speak unkindly to someone because, well, I'm open. I'll just confront and tell it the way it is. But also, even in our own families, we know our personalities, and sometimes you're like, well, yeah, we know maybe so-and-so is not driven, so even if she doesn't achieve anything, it's okay.
We're okay.
Yeah. But I think since the two are like all, like every personality, as we said, has a positive side and a dark side. And so I feel like that we should have a balance to strive to, you know, advance the positive side more than the dark side. Because the dark side will already be there, but how we handle it is really... crucial. Even when we have an understanding of how, for instance, a phlegmatic might behave when it's outside of their personality, it's sad when they use it as an excuse for decision or even for bad behavior.
I think I agree with Carol.
Yeah.
Why you know your weaknesses is so you can do better.
That's right.
So not so you can use it as an excuse.
That's very true. And as Christians, I don't know whether we've come across one book by Tom LaHaye. I don't know whether I've said it right. Mm-hmm. And it talks about the Holy Spirit-controlled temperament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just can't excuse the fact that... once you have the Holy Spirit, and you know, once you have God in you, there are some things that just can't pass. You just can't pass by some things and say, but that's just the way I am. No, that there must be a difference because of the God in you.
Mm.
So learning just to having that self-awareness, but not just being self-aware and not doing anything about wanting to be better.
That's right.
We must always strive to be better regardless of what our personalities are. You know, and there's nothing wrong with learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
So if another personality type has something positive, why not try to incline yourself to be that kind of person. You can't be wholly that person, of course, but there are things you can pick from them. So people, stop saying that's the way I am. What do you want me to do?
What personalities do you guys think go well together? Like, what is the great thing?
Actually, that's what I wanted to ask next. Like, do you think people with the same personality can live together?
Yes, I agree. People with the same personality can live together and can make it together in life. Well, I see that in some of my friends or friendships. Like, you tend to see the people you're drawn to. Like people who just understand you because maybe they are also similar to you. And that brings comfort at some level, but yet I think growth may be limited because you're all the same or you're similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I think we can live together, but I think the growth would not even be limited. It would be stunted because honestly, no.
I tend to think, as much as Carol is saying, we tend to get attracted to the people that, you know, have the same personality type. I tend to disagree. I think we like
the opposite.
Secretly. Yes, the opposite.
Yes.
We want what they have to be part of us. So a sanguine would be drawn to a melancholic in the sense that I want calmness in my life.
Yes.
No more fire.
I know, how do you do it, Carol? Like,
yes, I want a fire extinguisher.
Yes. I think for me, it's just to encourage us to see the beauty in our personalities, just who we are, and use that as a chance and an opportunity to learn from one another and pick up on things that are in other people and aren't in you, the good things, and not it, you know, as a platform or something that we can be defensive about, and also to use it as an aspect to compartmentalize our lives, to say, I am sanguine or choleric, because that doesn't define who you are, because it changes. And even though it gives hints on why you behave the way you do and why you react in particular situations the way you do, I think we are much more than what these personality types tell us. And I think living in community and seeing the beauty in other people is really what makes us live in harmony and be better people than we are to others.
I think like Carol, I agree. As a lover of these tests, I really love these tests, but I agree with what Carol is saying. You should not let them box you in. You're so much more than what can be listed on there, you know? You're so much more, and you're not just a flag or a choleric or, and to know that, but also to learn that, so this is who I am and this is how I react, how I do, these are my strengths, to let those strengths shine through, like really, really shine, and for the weaknesses to improve on them rather than using them as an excuse, but to also try and understand the people around you, your friends, your family, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your children, like just trying to understand them. I feel like it makes life easier and better when you know, like, okay, maybe this because this is who they are, you know, and also to correct them in love, because you're getting where they're coming from.
And also the fact that we'll keep having new experiences in life that will keep altering our personalities. I actually believe in that strongly. Because I've seen a sanguine become a phlegmatic. I've seen a choleric. You don't lose everything, but sometimes, you know, your percentages change, so you can't keep saying I am this. You're evolving. You must evolve with whatever experiences that are coming through into your life. All the same, guys, it was nice having you. It was nice discussing this. We will post both the different personality types together with this podcast. Please take the test and share with us what you find out about yourself. It will be very interesting to learn who you are. Also, share the tests with your friends and family and spouses, and just get to discuss, have a discussion what this means for you guys. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening in.